Welcome everyone to the bidder webcast for the March 2026 auction under AEP Ohio's competitive bidding process. My name is Katie and I work for NERA Economic Consulting. NERA serves as the auction manager for AEP Ohio's CBP. Presenting with me today is Rachel and Abby, also from NERA. In today's presentation, we're going to provide an overview of the competitive bidding process, details on the qualification and auction process, and we'll cover, of course, the information specific to this auction, including the product available, and walk through a calendar with deadlines. Next slide. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent background noise, but please do ask written questions throughout the presentation if you have any. To ask a question, you'll click on the chat icon on the bottom of the screen there. A panel will appear. You type in your question, hit enter. If you have any technical difficulties hearing or seeing the presentation today, please use the chat function as well to let us know. And just a note up front that this presentation, as well as the questions and answers, will be posted to the CBP website for future viewing. It'll get posted today or no later than tomorrow. On the next slide, I'll start with a disclaimer. Any statements herein describing or referring to documents and agreements are summaries only. They're qualified in their entirety by reference to the governing documents. The governing documents include the orders from the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio in the case that's provided here on the first bullet. The other governing documents include the CBP rules. These are the bidding rules for the auctions, the Master Standard Service Offer or SSO supply agreement that a winning supplier and AEP will enter, the rules and protocols for participation by associated bidders, and the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. So all of these documents are already posted on the CBP website, which is aepohiocbp.com. You can go to the website and review these important governing documents. On the next slide, we provide an overview of our role. So NERA serves as the auction manager. And so our role is to be the single point of contact with bidders. This means that all of your questions should be referred to us. We will also ensure that the CBP rules that were approved by the commission are followed and that bidder qualifications are evaluated equitably and fairly. And then we administer the auction and submit a report on the results to the commission. So the agenda for today's presentation on the next slide is as follows. In the first part of the presentation, I'll provide an overview of the product available and the auctions generally. I'll give a quick description of some provisions of the contract. Then I'll pass the presentation to Abby next, and she'll continue with an overview of the website and the application process, including the details for how to qualify. And lastly, Rachel will continue the presentation with information regarding bidding in the auction. And then at the end, we'll answer any questions that you've submitted throughout the presentation. So over on the next slide, we provide a graphic for the auctions and the products available. So this upcoming auction will be held on March 3rd. This is the sixth of the series of eight full requirements auctions to be held under AEP's ESP5. The product schedule includes a single 24-month product to be procured this March, and the term starts June 1, 2026. The next slide provides the results from the last auction held. So the prior auction was held in November 2025 for a single 12-month product, with the same start for the supply period of June 1, 2026. There were 11 registered bidders, and the range for the starting price or round one price was between $140 and $190 per megawatt hour. All tranches available were procured at the auction at a clearing price of $97, and the commission approved the results on November 5th, 2025. The next slide provides a product description. So the tranches available are load following slice of system full requirements tranches. Each tranche represents a fixed percentage of the load of SSO customers. SSO customers are customers who take retail generation from AEP Ohio, excluding PIP customers. PIP customers are those on AEP Ohio's percentage of income payment plan. We provide here on this slide for you the P node applicable for the delivery point. And then lastly, a note that SSO suppliers assume the responsibility of the load serving entity in PJM. This includes the responsibility for scheduling SSO supply and making arrangements for delivery of SSO supply. The next slide here provides an overview on the number of tranches available. So as I mentioned, load of SSO customers is divided into a number of tranches. The tranche target is 17 tranches for the 24-month supply period. Each tranche represents 1% of the load of SSO customers. So it means that a supplier that serves a single tranche of the 24-month product provides necessary services to meet the needs of 1% of the load of SSO customers for 24 months, beginning on June 1, 2026. Also importantly, there is a load cap of 13 tranches in the auction, and this is a limit on the number of tranches a supplier can bid on and win. The next slide provides an overview of the format. So the auction is a clock auction. So in this March, there are multiple tranches available for a single term. There'll be multiple rounds, and in each round, suppliers will state how many tranches they want to supply at the going price that's announced by the auction manager. And then from one round to the next, the auction will continue and the price will decrease or tick down if there's excess supply. And there's excess supply when suppliers are bidding to supply more tranches than the number that are available. The auction will close when the number of tranches bid is equal to or less than the number of tranches that are being procured. There's no sealed bid round. Instead, you'll supply exit prices as you withdraw tranches. And then the auction will establish a single clearing price that'll be applicable to all the tranches and all of the winning suppliers. The next slide provides the megawatt measure. We also provide here the PLC for SSO customers, excluding PIP customers. The PLC figure is based on the five highest coincident peaks experienced by PJM. The PLC figure is 1,454 megawatts. And right below that, we provide for reference and informational purposes only a megawatt measure for a tranche. And you should know that it's just for reference because the amount of actual quantity to be delivered will depend on many factors, including migration of SSO customers. Suppliers will be paid the auction clearing price for each megawatt hour of supply during the delivery term times a seasonal factor, and the seasonal factor is expected to be one. We have a calendar of the auction events on this slide here. The auction is going to take place over the next 2 months or so. The application process is in two parts. First, applicants submit the Part 1 application with their qualification materials beginning this Thursday, January 8th. That's when the online Part 1 form will become available. The Part 1 application must be submitted by noon on the Part 1 date on January 23rd. Applicants that become qualified bidders pursuant to a successful Part 1 application will be notified that they can submit a Part 2 application on the Part 1 notification date on January 29th. The following day, applicants can begin submitting their Part 2 application materials, and that includes posting pre-bid security. And the due date for the Part 2 application is February 17th. Bidders will be notified whether they're registered and eligible to participate in the auction on the Part 2 notification on February 24th. By that date, we will supply registered bidders with a bidder manual for preparation for participation in the auction. Applicants will have an opportunity to practice using the auction software, and the bid submission procedures in a trial held on February 25th. We'll provide the round one prices on February 26th, and then the following Tuesday on March 3rd, the auction will be held. Additionally, we'll make some announcements throughout the process, including providing the minimum and maximum starting price for the round one price by Monday, January 12th. We'll also provide an update to the seasonal factors and megawatt measure as necessary by January 30th. The next slide provides an overview of the online process. So as I mentioned, it's in two parts and it's entirely online. Applicants submit a Part 1 and Part 2 application through online forms. With the Part 1 application, you'll provide contact and company information for the bidder and supporting documents, including financial information for a credit assessment. You'll also be required to upload what we call inserts. Inserts are provided by us in Microsoft Word format for you to complete. Many of them require a signature. And Abby will provide more information on these inserts in the next part of the presentation. The Part 2 application materials include providing an indicative offer at the minimum and maximum starting prices, providing more certifications via inserts, and then also posting a pre-bid letter of credit or cash in an amount that supports the indicative offer. And again, a final note that no hard copy versions of any documents are required throughout the qualification process. The post-bid process is provided on this slide. So the auction results are contingent on final commission approval. The auction manager submits a confidential report on the results to the commission on the day the auction closes, and then the commission will issue a decision within 2 days of auction close. If the commission does not act within this window, then the auction results are deemed accepted. The commission may publicly release the auction clearing price and the names of winning bidders from the auction. And within 3 days of the commission's acceptance of the results, the master SSO supply agreement must be fully executed and winning bidders must fulfill their creditworthiness requirements. The next slide provides information on load caps. So bidders are subject to load caps. First, a bidder cannot bid or win more than 80% of the tranches available. So that's that 13 tranche load cap. Second, the amount the bidder can win in a given auction could be further reduced by credit-based tranche cap. And that depends on the credit ratings of the bidder or guarantor. The credit-based tranche caps have been maintained for this March 2026 auction and they're provided here in this table. So we're gonna move next to part two, and that's gonna provide a couple of slides on the product design and contract. So SSO suppliers or winners in the auction will assume all responsibilities of a load serving entity in PJM for the percentage of the load they serve. Suppliers are responsible for providing full requirement service that includes energy, capacity, and ancillary services to SSO customers, which again excludes PIP customers. And SSO suppliers do bear all costs associated with this responsibility. Full requirement service and the LSE obligations of SSO suppliers are defined in the Master SSO Supply Agreement. In particular, you can see attachment F of the agreement for a sample PJM invoice, which includes the billing line items and an indication of whether a line item is the responsibility of the supplier or of AEP Ohio. And on the final slide in this section, we have an overview of the credit requirements. There are two distinct credit requirements, and corresponding to those requirements are two distinct unsecured credit lines that the supplier or its guarantor may qualify for. The first credit requirement is the independent credit requirement, or ICR. That's an amount per tranche that declines throughout the term of the agreement. Corresponding to the ICR requirement is an unsecured credit line called the independent credit threshold. That can be used towards meeting the ICR. So whether a supplier or guarantor qualifies for this independent credit threshold will depend on criteria that's laid out in the agreement based on creditworthiness. And that creditworthiness evaluation is conducted with the Part 1 application process so that you have some information about how the supplier or your guarantor will be treated in regard to credit under the contract. The second credit requirement is the mark-to-market exposure. That exposure is based on the difference between the prevailing market prices and the market prices that were in effect on the date of the auction, or the date the auction is completed, excuse me. To meet this second requirement, a supplier or guarantor can also depend on a credit limit that may be granted, again, based on credit criteria that's laid out in the contract. Under the terms of the agreement, the supplier can use a guarantee with a creditworthy guarantor. Supplier can also post cash or a letter of credit to meet the credit requirements. There's a form of guarantee and letter of credit provided as attachments to the master agreement. And so those can be reviewed ahead of time. So that concludes the overview of the credit requirements. So we're at part three, and I'll go ahead and pass the presentation over to Abby.
Thank you, Katie. Hi, everyone. In this next section, I'll provide you with an overview of the AP Ohio auction website. So the next slide discusses how to navigate the auction website. The auction website can be found at apohiocbp.com. It's the central source of information where bidders can find announcements made by the auction manager, the schedule for the current auction and important dates, auction documents, and data provided by AP Ohio. Bidders can navigate through different pages of the website using the panel on the left-hand side of the screen and clicking the appropriate tab name. And also just to point out, a link to the application website is available at the bottom of the navigation bar in red text. The next slide, we'll talk about the information tab of the website. So clicking on the information tab displays the link to access the documents page, along with links to the announcements page and the FAQs page. On the documents page, bidders can find a number of files such as the auction rules, the master SSO supply agreement, and pre-bid security documents. And also on this page are the illustrated versions of the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. And today's presentation will also be posted here on the documents page and will likely be made available later today. The next slide will discuss the data room of the website. So clicking on the data room tab will take you to the page where AP Ohio has made available hourly energy data, customer count data, PLC and NSPL data, as well as monthly switching statistics. The information on this page is updated on or before the 20th of each month. And also available on the data room page is government aggregation data, which is updated less frequently. Next slide, please. To contact the auction manager, you may click on the Contact Us tab of the website. Here you can register to receive announcements about this auction as well as any upcoming future auctions. You can also register to receive login credentials to access the application forms to participate in the auctions. And if you have a question, you can click the Ask a Question link and fill out the required fields. Your question will be submitted to the auction manager, and we aim to provide a response within 2 business days. You may also submit any questions to us by email at aep-cbp@nira.com. And now we'll move to the next section of the presentation. So in this next section, I'll provide an overview of the application process for purposes of participating in the upcoming AEP auction and review some of the information that bidders will need to provide. So the application, the online application to participate in the auction is completed on a website separate from the AEP-CBP site. So you can access the application site directly by going to aepohiocbp-application.com. And as mentioned earlier, a link to this application website is also available at the bottom of the navigation bar on the AEP-CBP website. The next slide will discuss registering for an application account. So ahead of the Part 1 window opening, new bidders who have not participated in the AEP auctions should register for an account on the AEP-CBP website by clicking the Contact Us and then register for an application account on the left-hand side of the webpage. Alternatively, bidders can send us an email at aep-cbp@nero.com to request login credentials, making sure to provide the contact information shown on the slide here. So company name, full name of contact, phone number, and an alternate number, as well as an email address. And on the next slide now, we'll explain that if you're currently an account holder, the auction manager will automatically send you your login credentials and you do not need to re-register for an account. Current account holders are considered returning bidders that have qualified to participate in an AEP auction in 2024 or later, as well as any entities that registered for an account in 2024 or later but have not yet previously qualified. But please note that all account holders, whether you are new or a returning bidder, will need to activate their account by following the instructions provided in the account activation email. The auction manager will send instructions for accessing and completing the online forms to account holders prior to the Part 1 window opening. And on the next slide, I'll provide an overview of the Part 1 application requirements. So the first section of the online Part 1 form will ask you to provide contact information for the bidder and for various representatives, including the representative of the applicant and a legal representative in Ohio. In this section of the form, a bidder may also choose to name nominees to be included on all correspondence with the auction manager. And in the second section of the online Part 1 form, bidders will provide information related to its status as a PJM member and to indicate whether it is currently a market buyer and market seller and whether it is qualified as a load-serving entity. Next slide, please. So with the Part 1 application, bidders are also required to make a number of certifications agreeing to the auction rules, agreeing to the terms of the master SSO supply agreement, and agreeing to keep certain auction-related information confidential. Bidders will also need to provide financial statements and credit ratings for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder is relying. And please note that additional information will be required for a foreign bidder, as well as bidders relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. There's also a section in the online Part 1 form where bidders may propose modifications to the pre-bid credit instruments. These would be the pre-bid letter of credit, the letter of intent to provide a guarantee, and the letter of reference. These credit instruments may need to be submitted with the bidder's Part 2 application. So this portion of the online Part 1 form provides bidders with an opportunity to propose changes to the standard form of these documents. And then AEP Ohio will review any proposed modifications and a response will be provided to the bidder indicating which changes are acceptable and which are not. A preliminary list of acceptable modifications to the pre-bid security documents can be found on the documents page of the auction website. And just to note, any modification that is already on this preliminary list may be used by any bidder, so please be sure to share this list with your bank. And if a modification is accepted for one bidder, it will also be made available for all bidders to use on an optional basis through this running list. The next slide will discuss inserts for the Part 1 form. So bidders will be required to fill out inserts for both the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. Inserts are submitted alongside the rest of the application as separate Microsoft Word documents. All inserts for the applications can be found on the auction website at aepohiocbp.com on the documents page under the information tab on the left-hand side of the screen. These inserts for the Part 1 and Part 2 applications are available in the corresponding lien name zip file shown on the screen here. And just as a note, there are separate instructions for what is considered an acceptable signature within each insert template. The next slide will give an overview of the inserts that might be required for the Part 1 application, to whom they apply, and whether notarization is required to complete them. So all bidders are required to provide the representative designation insert, the representative responsibilities insert, and the certifications insert as part of their Part 1 application for each auction. The legal representative insert will be retained in the online Part 1 form for returning bidders that have participated since the October 2024 auction and does not need to be re-uploaded unless the information provided in that insert has changed. So returning bidders will be asked to indicate that their legal representative has not changed. And please note that the legal representative insert will then be required for any bidder that has not participated in an auction following the Commission's approval of ESP 5. And then lastly, some inserts are only required in certain circumstances, which are further outlined in the illustrative part one form. So for example, the PJM requirements insert should be provided if a bidder is not currently a member of PJM in good standing or is not qualified as a market buyer, market seller, or a load serving entity. The next slide will move into the part two application information. So if a bidder satisfies all requirements of the part one application, that bidder will receive a part one notification from the auction manager and will be invited to submit a part two application. New bidders and returning bidders must fulfill the same requirements in the online part two form. So in the part two application, bidders submit their indicative offer, provide pre-bid security, and make a number of additional certifications. And also just a note that foreign entities will have additional requirements to complete with their part two application as well. On the next slide, I'll review in more detail some of the requirements of the Part 2 application. So, the online Part 2 form requires bidders to provide an indicative offer. The indicative offer is the maximum number of tranches that a bidder is willing to bid at the minimum starting price and at the maximum starting price. The minimum and maximum starting price will be announced on January 12th. The indicative offer at the maximum starting price is used to determine the amount of pre-bid security a bidder must provide with its Part 2 application. So, in turn, this value sets the total number of tranches that a bidder will be able to bid in the first round of the auction. And this is also referred to as bidder's initial eligibility. Next slide, please. So, bidders will also need to submit pre-bid security with their Part 2 application in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit. The amount of pre-bid security is equal to 500,000 per tranche of a bidder's indicative offer at the maximum starting price. Bidders may also be required to provide additional pre-bid security in an amount of $300,000 per tranche if that bidder is relying on the financial standing of a guarantor, or if the entity on whose financial standing a bidder is relying does not meet the minimum credit requirements under the Master SSO Supply Agreement. Bidders will also need to make a number of certifications with their Part 2 application, certifying to comply with the association and confidential information rules, and certifying to keep information related to the auction confidential. The next slide here will discuss pre-bid credit instruments. So, as a reminder to bidders choosing to provide a pre-bid letter of credit as their pre-bid security, the pre-bid letter of credit can only be provided by the issuing bank directly to the auction manager as an electronic PDF file via email to aep-cbp@nero.com. Hard copy versions of the pre-bid letter of credit will not be accepted. I also just want to emphasize that any required additional pre-bid security must be uploaded to the online form or provided by email to the auction manager at aep-cbp@nero.com. And then hard copies of any required additional pre-bid security will not be accepted either. And then please review the standard forms of the pre-bid credit instruments ahead of the deadline for part one application, so you may propose changes to those standard forms if you so choose. In the next slide, we'll talk a bit more about the part two requirements. So with the part two application, bidders must certify that any bid submitted in the auction is binding. And then lastly, foreign bidders or bidders relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor must provide executed versions of the draft documents that they provided with their Part 1 application. And please note that these executed versions must include any changes that were required by AEP Ohio. And then this next slide will discuss the Part 2 inserts. So, just like in the online Part 1 form, the online Part 2 form requires bidders to upload inserts. Bidders submitting cash as pre-bid security will need to provide the cash certification insert, and all bidders must provide the Part 2 certifications insert. And again, like the Part 1 inserts, they're available on the AEP CBP website, and instructions for signing is provided within each insert. And now I'll pass things over to Rachel for the next part of the presentation.
Thanks, Abby. So I'll end today's presentation by providing an overview of the bidding process in the auction. Now, as Abby said, if bidders satisfy all requirements of the application, so once you satisfy all requirements of the Part 2 application, then the bidder will receive a Part 2 notification from the auction manager and will be eligible to bid in the auction. And bidders will submit their bids in the auction using an online auction software. And as Katie mentioned, the format of the auction is a descending clock auction with multiple rounds during which the price ticks down if there is excess supply. And in each round, bidders specify the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the announced price in that round. Each round in the auction is made up of three phases: bidding, calculating, and reporting. Bidders state the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the going price for that round during the bidding phase. Once the bidding phase ends, the calculating phase begins, and the auction manager will then tabulate the results of that round and calculates the next round's going price. After the calculating phase ends, the reporting phase begins, and at this time, bidders will be provided with the going price for the next round, and bidders will also be provided with the results of their own bid in that round. Now, note that bidders will have access to the results of their own bid, but will not have access to the results of another bidder's bid. During the reporting phase, bidders will also be provided with a range of total excess supply. And at the end of the reporting phase, the bidding phase for the next round begins, and the cycle continues until the auction ends. Now, if it is determined that there is insufficient supply to ensure competitive bidding, the auction manager can reduce the tranche target. The specific criteria that could lead to this reduction will be determined ahead of time prior to the auction, but this information will be kept confidential and will not be provided to bidders. However, once specific criteria have been met, the discretion to reduce the tranche target will be eliminated and the value of the tranche target will hold through the end of the auction. The starting price, or the round one price, is provided to registered bidders ahead of the auction, and a bid in round one is the number of tranches a bidder is willing to supply at the round one price. In round one, a bidder cannot bid more tranches than its initial eligibility. Just a reminder here that a bidder's initial eligibility is equal to its indicative offer at the maximum starting price that was provided in its online Part 2 form. In round one, a bidder can bid a number of tranches equal to its initial eligibility or a number of tranches less than its initial eligibility, but a bidder cannot increase the number of tranches it bids from round to round. So, a bidder choosing to bid a number of tranches less than its initial eligibility in round one will only be able to bid that same amount or less in subsequent rounds. After the bidding phase ends, the auction will enter the calculating phase, and the auction manager will tabulate the results of the round and calculate the next round's going price. Then this information is made available to bidders in the reporting phase. And this slide gives an example of the information that's provided to bidders at that time. Bidders will see the next round's price and a range of total excess supply. The actual value of excess supply, which is equal to the total number of tranches bid in the auction, minus the tranche target, will fall within the given range. In this example, the range reported to bidders is 106 to 110, which means that the actual value of excess supply can be equal to 106 or 110, or a value in between. Bidders will also have access to the results of their own bid, but as I mentioned, bidders will not have access to the results of another bidder's bid. Information regarding a bidder's bid, identity, or eligibility will not be accessible to other bidders. Again, bidders that satisfy all the requirements of the Part 2 application will receive a Part 2 notification from the auction manager. Registered bidders will also receive, with their Part 2 notification, a bidder user manual. The bidder user manual will provide the decrement formulas used to calculate the going price from round to round, and remember that the price ticks down when there is excess supply. So, starting in round two, in response to a reduction in price, bidders may either leave their bid the same as in the previous round, or bidders can withdraw tranches from the auction. But remember, a bidder cannot bid more than its eligibility. In round one, this value is the bidder's initial eligibility. In round two, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the number of tranches that the bidder bid in round one. And in round three and in subsequent rounds, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the eligibility from the prior round minus any tranches that the bidder withdrew from the auction. When a bidder withdraws tranches from the auction, the bidder will be prompted to provide what's called an exit price. This is a best and last offer for the tranches that are being withdrawn from the auction. An exit price must be greater than the current round's going price, but below or equal to the previous round's going price. In the example here, a bidder is withdrawing one tranche from the auction where it was bidding on 10 tranches. It's now bidding on 9. And the bidder submits an exit price of $119.25 per megawatt hour, which is above the going price of $118.75, but below the previous round's price of $125. If the auction continues on to the next round, the bidder's eligibility will be 9 tranches. The auction will continue as long as there is excess supply. Or, in other words, when the total number of tranches bid across all bidders is greater than the auction volume. The auction will end when the total number of tranches bid is either just equal to the tranche target, or if the total number of tranches bid is less than the tranche target. The final price, which is also referred to as the auction clearing price, is determined in one of two ways. One, if the number of tranches bid is exactly equal to the number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is the going price in that final round. But if the total number of tranches bid is less than the total number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is equal to the lowest exit price at which the tranche target is filled. So this slide provides an example of how the auction clearing price is determined in the case where the total number of tranches bid falls below the tranche target. So you can see in the number bid column that the total number of tranches bid across all bidders fell from 19 to 14. So the auction will close. To fill the target of 17 tranches, we'll first take the 14 tranches that were bid at the round 12 going price. And now we're still short 3 tranches, so we will need to retain some of the withdrawn tranches, and the exit prices submitted by the bidders will be used to set the auction clearing price. To decide which of the tranches will be retained, we'll consider the exit prices from lowest to highest. We need to retain 3 tranches total to fill the target. We'll first select the 2 tranches with the lowest exit price of $95.47 from bidder A. And now we're still short 1 tranche. We'll then select the tranche with the next lowest exit price, which is the single tranche withdrawn by bidder B with an exit price of $95.85. And now we've filled the tranche target of 17 tranches, and the auction clearing price will be equal to bidder B's exit price of $95.85. We will not retain any of the withdrawn tranches from bidder C. All bidders who are holding tranches will receive the same clearing price of $95.85. And before wrapping up today's presentation, I'll provide a few more reminders about the auction. So first, bidders will have an opportunity to practice submitting bids using the auction software in a trial auction that's set to take place on February 25th. And during the auction, if you're experiencing any technical difficulties, the backup procedure for submitting your bid is to do so by phone. Technical assistance will be available to take your bid over the phone and submit it into the software on your behalf. The last bid submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software is the bid that counts. A backup bid processed over the phone will only count if it's entered and verified by the technical assistant in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. So it's the bidder's responsibility to provide a complete bid consistent with the CBP rules and to get the bid in on time. For purposes of using the online auction software, please be sure that you're using one of the supported browsers listed here and that you have a stable internet connection. And if you need to reach us, you can contact the auction manager team by email at aep-cbp@nira.com. And again, if you intend to submit a pre-bid letter of credit as pre-bid security, it must be sent electronically to this same email address. And so this concludes the presentation portion of this webcast.